Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Okay, hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We're back. It's great, isn't it?
So good.
How long has it been? Five months?
Really?
No, it can't have been. It feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
How are you, Ramaj?
I'm good, yeah. Keeping busy.
What have you been up to since we last did this?
Man, I've just been watching Love Island, pretty much. That's been my last sort of month or so.
And do you
watch that show?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, we won't talk about that.
No. We can talk about it. We can talk about it as a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because I watched like the previous series
and got into it.
Well, I got upset that I got into it,
right.
So I deliberately decided not to watch this one because I think it's shit.
It's
not shit.
It feels like everyone's talking about it now.
I know.
I didn't hear anyone talk about it before.
So you got into it. You're sort of a bandwagon jumper for Love Island.
Basically.
And is it good?
It is great. Yeah, Marcel from the Blazing Squad's in there.
Right. What's he like?
He's funny. He's actually a very sweet guy. And he's fallen in love with someone called... I mean, I'm properly
into it. Heat Magazine
in my flat, mate. Just obsessed with it.
Where'd you go on holiday?
I went to Corfu, which is in Greece.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying.
What
was it like?
It's lovely.
Yeah?
Little villa there with my family, my nephews, and my girlfriend.
So what do your family think of your girlfriend?
They really liked her. That's like the first time they properly checked her out.
Did you feel pressure, or was it all right?
No, it's fine. Yeah. Just
family didn't like your girlfriend, would you give a shit?
Wouldn't be ideal, but no. It wouldn't be like a motivation to knock it on the head.
Right.
But
okay.
All good.
Cool. I went to Australia.
You went to Australia,
yeah.
Of course. How was that?
Good.
You didn't die in your hole?
No.
As you predicted.
I kept sleeping in the hotel till just before I had to do the show. So I didn't really,
just really high
see
energy.
Any of Australia. And Phil Jupitus was out there as well. And then we'd turn up to the show and he'd go, oh, I went to this cafe and took a tram here and blah, and what did you do? I was like, I watched Netflix for a bit,
really
masturbating
the culture.
So it's bad. New Zealand, I went for 2 nights.
Is that good?
I was annoyed about New Zealand because it's further away than Australia. I didn't know that.
How long does it take to get there from Australia?
3 hour flight or something.
Right.
And so that freaked me out a bit.
Mm.
And then I had to do New Zealand comedy gala, and it's televised. Well, they pick some of the acts to go in the TV show over there, right? And the woman that picked me up said, oh, you'll definitely be in because you're an international act.
Mm.
And then I went, and it wasn't an easy gig. And then when I went out, I said hello, and two people said hello back. And then I went, oh, you know, you can go fuck yourself. I had a bit of a go at the audience for being so shit.
Yeah.
Then I did my set, and as I walked off, the woman went, that's not going to make it. So she'd gone from definitely thinking I was going to be in.
That's so funny.
To watching my set and going, you're not going to be in. So, you know.
It's better to sort of say it there and then, I guess.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
I also, one of the other standout experiences, I watched Lion. Do you know that film?
Oh, that film, yeah. Don't mind it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Indian boy,
gets lost. Yeah,
then he moves to Australia.
Yeah,
he eats a samosa.
Yeah,
and it reminds him that he should go find his
roots. He gets on Google Maps.
Yeah,
that bit is boring in the film.
Sorry, I should say he's been sitting it. We've got Xander Flip Tricks here.
Yeah, just catching
so
up
you
there.
Can chip in if you want, mate.
Cool.
But have you seen the film?
No.
Right. So the first part of that film is an Indian boy, incredible actor,
amazing,
this kid.
Yeah.
And it's a compelling story of this kid been lost in India. He's 1,500 kilometres from home or whatever, and some people try and, like, capture him and shit like that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the film is Dev Patel on Google Earth.
I mean, it's
that
fucking bit goes on forever.
Insane.
And he's sort of supposed to be going a bit mad and working out his identity.
It's so dumb. Nicole, not dumb. It has to be the true story.
Yeah.
But they must have got to that bit in Australia and gone, how can this possibly compete?
Yeah.
We've had, like, one of the most incredible child actors I've ever seen.
Mm.
Conveying this really heart-wrenching story, and then Dev Patel's on his laptop. And don't worry, I mean, don't get me wrong, Dev is good, but
good.
You know, I'm not having it. Anyway, that's us all
caught
up.
Yeah, that is it. That is everything.
That's it. Yeah. So I am delighted to say we have got on our comeback episode. We have got our guest today, Xander, aka Flip Tricks. How you doing,
man.
Mate?
Yeah,
head of
good.
High Focus Record. Well, how do you want me to?
Yeah, head of High Focus, Flip Tricks, Four Hours member.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. MD, are you MD?
CEO.
CEO, there you go.
I was CEO.
CEO, yeah. 4 Hours member. Just general legend.
I'm stone jamming, I threw the whole bag in. Puff it, no challenge, I'm known to smoke gallons. I hit them with the flow, they're like, who's the man? One who's on the road with the stickers like blam. Step up in the jam with the owls and the fam. Looking kind of hats like I just linked my yak for a slam. And I did, I was like, bang.
Almost single-handedly responsible for keeping UK hip-hop where it should be, right?
Big up, man. That's
great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure, man.
So, what have you been up to?
Recovering from Glastonbury for a little while.
Were you performing there? Or?
Yeah, had a show at the Rumshack stage at the Common. Yeah, it was crazy. Pretty rowdy, and then I stayed for the whole week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just because the weather was so good. And
do you camp?
I did camp, yeah.
How do you find that?
Well, position the tent in a nice shady location, so it was not too bad.
What is the what's the toilet situation sound like?
Showers?
Pretty bad. But we got the artist showers and toilets.
Are they nice? A lot nicer?
A little bit nicer.
Right. Because I can't really deal with that.
Yeah.
Matt, so like whenever, a week of it for sure.
No. One whenever I do festival gigs, I arrive like 10 minutes before I'm due to go on stage and I leave almost immediately. I don't want to run the risk
really
of having to take a shit while
I'm community of comedians. I saw Romesh.
It's just the toilet situation freaks me out. Is it a long drop? Is the artist's toilet a long drop?
Yeah, it is a long drop.
Oh my god, man.
No, that's proper nasty.
So what do you do? Sorry, I don't want to get too personal.
You have to squat, innit? There's no other option.
But I would just try not to shit for the week.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did you not think about that? Was that a potential strategy or not?
No, I think by day two, you know what I mean? That's game over.
Oh, my God. So how was Glastonbury apart from that?
Yeah, no, it was epic, man. It was good. It's good to see Rag & Bone Man as well up on the main stage or the other stage. Lots of good acts.
So Rag & Bone Man, was he High Focus?
Yeah. We put out, like, two of his first early projects.
Right.
Dog and Bone EP that's produced by Leaf Dog, who produces all the 4 Hour stuff.
I keep my soul, wow. And the breath in my lungs. To bring you to the love that I have, Whatever's left you can take.
Whatever's left, you gon' take, bitch. To bring you to
And then for that Soul and Meat EP produced by Dirty Dyke.
Yeah.
And then, after that, he got a lot of mainstream interest in that, obviously, from his voice.
Yeah.
And then ended up getting a publishing deal with Warner and then signed to Columbia, I think it is.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. And you... we had Verbs and Mad Nice from 4 Hours on.
Yeah.
Are 4 Hours coming out of anything? Are you working on a new thing at the moment?
We've got, like, a couple tracks sitting there, but the way we work is that we always like to get together in a room and like go through all the beats and then like write all the lyrics together in like an old school sort of way rather than doing it over the internet.
Yeah.
But now we all live in different cities, so we haven't actually got anything sorted, but the last album kind of took its toll. The first album, we didn't even decide that we were going to make it.
Right.
It just happened by Leaf Dog came down. We made a few tracks, got Verbs involved, getting pretty high, decided we would call ourselves Owls. And then like... that's how that album happened.
So you were stoned when you made the decision to do the Owl thing, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, it comes from, like, Cypress Hill. They've got a track called Burn Another Owl.
Right.
So we were like, yeah, we're just burning bare owls and decided that we would call ourselves the Owls.
Smoke it up, just pump it up. Oh, yeah, light it up. Then put your spliff up in the air.
Yeah, and that's how that kind of came up. Then we're like, I'm Bigal, he's the form wing, Rusty Takeoff and Bird T. And then it was born. And then like we put it out, didn't realise it would be such a success, basically. Yeah. And then obviously everyone wanted the second album. That took us like 3 years to make compared to the one before. That took,
because
like,
it was weeks. Because you couldn't get any weight or something? Or?
That was part of the reason. But I don't know, more pressure. We made a lot more tracks. We made like 36 tracks or whatever, and then just chose 16. And
then what? So where are these 20 tracks?
They're just sitting on a hard drive.
Fuck.
We've got an unreleased track with R.A. the Rugged Man.
Are you
well.
Serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to ever put it out?
Yeah, I hope we do, yeah.
I mean, I wish I was prolific enough to have material that I got. When you see my tour show,
yeah.
Nothing has gone to waste there, mate. Every single fucking word I've written.
That's the thing, though. It's different when you're in a group. I'm similar to you, like, as a solo artist. I put pretty much most of the stuff that I write does go out. But with the group, because it's four of us, we made a rule, like, all four have to agree that it makes a grade.
Right.
So if one person's like, I don't like it for whatever reason, even if everyone else likes it, kind of goes in the bin.
Oh shit, right, okay. And do you have a thing where, like, because, like, do you remember, I don't know if you remember, I remember reading an interview with the RZA, and he was saying that one of the issues you had with Wu-Tang is that when they came together to do a group album, they would hold back on, like, their best verses, like, to keep them for their solo stuff.
Yeah. We're always trying to outdo each other on the album stuff, so I guess it's a bit competitive.
How's it compared to doing your solo stuff? By the way, the album is amazing. Your latest album's so good, man.
Cheers, man.
I love it.
I stay spitting because I'm outspoken. I'm at the pub outside in the rain smoking. Man's up on the inside, clocking, getting coking. It's been a long fucking day like the summer solstice. Everybody needs escapes if you ever notice. Couple shots down the neck, now the night's in motion. It's good vibes till a fist fight of all commotion. 24-7, 3-6, the office open. How does that... How it's different because I guess you kind of build a persona as an owl a bit, do you know what I mean? When I'm writing on Big Owl, obviously I'm Flip Tricks. So I guess that sort of thing. And the whole like group vibing off each other, like when we're going through Leafs Beats, you know, we choose the concept, we decide it all together. It's more input
right.
from everyone else rather than solo. It's like just yourself.
How long have you been making music?
Since I was, about 15 years. Since I was 16.
Holy shit. And how did you, what sort of things were you listening to when you first got into hip hop? Like, how did you get
my
into it?
My first early stuff was like Fugees, Big Pun, Big L, Biggie, like the Three Bigs.
All the Bigs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Three Bigs, yeah, they got me into it. And then I was just loving it, you know, for like 4 years. And then I heard UK hip hop, like Jess, Task Force, Kalashnikov. And that's when it switched, changed for me. I was like, wow, because there's people from our country making music that I can relate to. It seemed a lot more accessible.
So did you find that you're preferring the UK stuff to the US stuff?
I love the US stuff and I still do, but I think I've resonated more with the UK stuff, and then I just proper got into that scene, and that's what inspired me to start writing lyrics. And then I had some friends around me who started writing lyrics, and we were just kind of that's how we got into it, really.
Big Pun, Roop, are you...
He's gone, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone. You look so nervous that you were going to proclaim somebody dead that wasn't. Did you ever see him live?
No, unfortunately not.
I didn't either, but the stories you hear about when he was... Because, like, he was big when he first started.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, if anything... I mean, success is not going to make you lose weight, is it?
No.
So, like, he got even bigger. Mm, and then a lot of gigs, he would do a track and then have to sit down and shit like that. Because also, his style... was so breathless anyway, do you know what I mean? Like, his proper...
He inspired my flow a lot.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The harsh realities of life have taken toll. Even Jesus Christ forsake my soul. Please tell me what price to pay to make it whole. Take control. I'm making dough, but not enough to blow. J.O.'s, they lost my flow, but they yo. I don't trust the soul. The soul I know we need.
I always wondered about the mentality of Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Bringing him out, because like, don't get me wrong, I like Fat Joe, but you're called Fat Joe and then you bring someone who's better than you, who's also fatter than you. Do you know what I mean? It was like an insane fucking strategy. It'd be like me bringing somebody with a lazier eye like onto the scene. Do you know what I mean?
It's terrible.
I think it wasn't Big Pun, like, I might be wrong, but wasn't he like an American football who was like really into it and doing really well, and then I think he like had a real bad injury and then got into like comfort eating.
Oh shit.
And that's how he got so big.
How did he die? Was it related?
I think it was.
Well, he had like, didn't he have sleep apnea or something? So like, he'd be in mid conversation and then just,
shit.
And then it was like heart.
Yeah, I think it was a heart thing.
Do you know what I feel really bad at? I'm just assuming that. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was a heart thing.
Right, okay, good. We'll get that verified, and if not, we'll edit it out.
Yeah.
And Big L.
Yeah.
There's some EP.
He's
have you had
dead
that EP?
As well,
yeah, he's dead as well. Really.
Yeah. They all are.
It's good having like a little...
Basically, don't call yourself big if you're a rapper.
Yeah, that is true, actually. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Big L's just got... Have you heard this EP, the Vaults EP? Have you heard this?
No.
Sure.
It's good.
What, is it him on it?
It's like some... Like no, some it's not him on it. It's a really weird move by the record label. They've said it's an unreleased stuff from Big L, but he's not on it at all, which is weird. It's just people talking about
it. Oh, wow, that's a really weird concept.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? No, it's like old. It's old track. It's good.
Is it good?
L's a rebel. On a higher level, go get the shovel. Because I'm the only son of the motherfucking devil. It's a fact I'm living foul. Black nigga should have known I was sick from the shit I did a while back. Because being bad, I couldn't stop when I was in preschool. I beat a kid to death with a wooden block. Faggot niggas, I was backslapping. I realized that every time I got mad, that something bad happened.
It's not like that one that Biggie brought out, or the one that they brought out.
Do you know what?
Like
I'm so glad you brought that fucking Life After Death album.
And they did that with Tupac as well, didn't they?
No, hold on. Hold on. What's the one?
Rebirth, was it?
No. Is it Rebirth?
It says
Ready to Die, Laugh After Death, and then there was another one they brought out. That album, not Life After, fuck me, I'm not saying that album's bad. The one after that, whatever that's called, where it's like Puffy for ages, and then you hear Biggie like...
On the phone or something.
Just having a conversation. Puff, have you got tickets for the train journey?
Sorry, I'm running a bit late.
Fucking insane. Anyway, so you're into the bigs.
Yeah.
Do you still listen to American hip hop now?
Yeah, I do. More sort of like, I don't know, Action Bronson, quite into him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Joe Badass as well.
That new album, Joe Badass, is amazing.
Yeah,
it's so good, man. Yeah. That's a Ramesh Reco.
Yeah.
Right there.
Running away. Going like the wind. I can't seem to win. I know the end is near, but I just don't know when. Turn on the CNN, look at what I see again. It's another black man that at the white man of justice.
So I was in the States recently, and all that was playing on the radio was Future, just non-stop.
Yeah.
And that fucking song, Mask Off, have you heard that song?
Yeah.
That Percocet.
Yeah.
Honestly, have you heard this song?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I can't deal with it. It was every other song was this Future song. Are you a Future fan?
I haven't really checked his music too much, to be honest.
I can't.
I've heard everyone talking about
it. I can't deal with it. I tried to... I sort of got it, being in America. It's all hot and everyone's in, like, nice cars and shit. I get it.
Yeah.
But fuck that.
Who is he? Do you know anything about him?
Do I know anything about him? He's like the... He's like the forefront of like the sort of mumbly sort of trap kind of.
No, but like who? What's his story? Do you know?
What's his story? Yeah.
Age, star sign.
I don't know. look it up on Wikipedia. What I can tell you, Rupert, and this is the fact that you may say, he's still alive.
Ah,
there you go.
Well, because he hasn't got big. He's going to change himself to big feet.
Yeah. How did High Focus come about?
Basically, about 2006, 2007. When I was finishing my second album, I was recording Camberwell at Chemo Studio.
Yeah.
That was half owned by Jest.
Right.
And so at that point in time, like Y&R, which is Jest's label, was one of the only sort of real labels around at that time, because Low Life, I think, had crumbled just before or around that time. So like my ambition then was to get signed to Y&R, really. So I made my whole album and like had all my videos done, sent it to Will. And he was like, yeah, I'm feeling this, like I would be up for putting it out, but you know, you have to wait like a year or maybe a year and a half, because he had all that other artist stuff that was sort of booked in before.
Stacked up before you, yeah.
And then he just said to me, he's like, the best advice that I could give to you would be to do it yourself, like to start your own label. And that kind of spurred me to like, you know, go for it, basically. But at that point in time, it was only as a means to release my own material.
Right.
I hadn't thought about doing
bringing other people on, yeah.
But I was at music college at the time, so they kind of helped me out with, like, you know, the things that you have to register to, like PRS, PPL, all the sort of little basics of setting up a label. And then I released the album, went down well, got some good press and started doing shows. And then around that time, I like met Jan Baxter and Dirty Dyke and Leaf Dog and all of them guys, and was hanging around with them and just really rated Baxter, and he had made his album and he saw like what I'd done and like how well I put mine out. And he was just basically like, oh, would you be up for like releasing it? And then I sort of came to him with a proposition. He's like, yeah, that sounds cool. And then that's put Jan Baxter's out, and then before I knew it, Leaf Dog was like, I've got an album. Dirty Dyke was like, I've got an album. So then put those out, and then it just kind of spiraled from there, and then I just decided this is what I'm going to do, and then just tunnel vision, super focus, just went for it, basically.
Holy shit, man. So, and then how do you decide? Because that feel sounds quite of all kind of organic.
The whole label is super organic.
Because, like, from an outsider's point of view, like, I would say, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that your label is synonymous with the best UK hip-hop, right? Like, and it feels like you've got a really high quality control. But it's people that you meet up with and like. And
Everyone has just been, like, literally, like, friends who I've made throughout the scene. It's all been supernatural. In two ways, supernatural.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know. It is a pretty mad thing, and that's why I think it works as well, because it's created a movement. Like, everyone's all featured on each other's projects. They all back each other. We all do the shows and the tours. It's created more of a movement.
Yeah,
which I think is really important in hip hop and stuff. Like, even guys in grime are doing it. You know, Boy Better Know. They're strong. It's like, you know, strong.
Yeah.
Power in numbers, I guess.
Yeah. And has anyone approached you to put their album out that you wouldn't want to put out?
Yeah, we have had a lot of people approach us.
Really?
Yeah. But I would do it if it was good enough. But I mean, there's a lot of, like, average guys. And then
I imagine you're getting, every time you're at a gig, you get people give you tapes. And
Tapes?
There's a lot.
I was trying to think of a generic term.
Compact discs.
Because what I was thinking is it could be a
USB
CD. It could be USB. I was trying to think of a catch-all term. I could have said recordings. So I imagine, let me try again. So I imagine, like, when you're at gigs and stuff, people are giving you 8-tracks and, like, Betamax.
8-tracks.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, it does happen quite a bit, yeah.
And then, do you listen to everything?
I do what I can, but I'm, it's pretty tough. Obviously, like, the inboxes and stuff get pretty full.
Email, there you go, that's another thing. You could email it.
Do you purposely hunt stuff down, or you just...
I do, I always keep an eye out, I really want to sign a female artist. I've been looking for a long time.
Yeah.
It's really hard. There are some decent ones out there.
So shit, they're all shit. No joke.
But yeah, it's obviously a very male-dominated genre. It would be nice to have some, like, really sick female MCs, or even just kind of like singers, you know, just on that sort of production, like how Rag and Bone kind of works, singing over the hip-hop beats.
If there's any, like, female artists out there, do send your tapes in.
To Romesh.
Send your cassettes in, we'll pass them on to
Design for it. You could be the filter.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You mentioned Boy Better Know.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I was going to say, right? Because, like, a lot of people, we've talked about this a lot on this, but like, a lot of people think that the British urban scene, in terms of MCs and stuff, is grime.
Yeah.
Right? And there's loads of people sort of think that the UK hip-hop scene has morphed into... There's this misconception that it's just changed into grime and that's what it is now.
Yeah.
What is your attitude towards grime in with regards... Because you don't have... I mean, I guess... When we had Ocean Wisdom on, he talked about some of his stuff being a little bit kind of a bit of both.
You can cross over a bit as well, like Dead Players and Baxter, you know, it's the tempo, kind of down to the tempo. I'm actually a massive fan of grime. I've been listening to it for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, wherever, sort of 10 years or whatever. I back it, I rate it, but I think it's good because 10 years ago there wasn't even much exception of people rapping from this country.
Yeah.
So it's good that they're, you know, people... You'd ask the kid 10 years ago who their favourite rappers are, it'd all be American. You ask them now, it's all probably going to be UK guys, which is a positive thing for UK music in general. And I just kind of hope that it will be... I'm hoping there's going to be a kind of transition, so everyone's going to be well into grime for a while and road rap and that, and then they're going to hopefully discover our scene more.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I think there's a lot of more experimentation within the lyrics and it's less... repeating the same stuff and like less generic, I think.
Yeah. And have you
it'd be good for mainstream radio to, like, you know, show more love.
So what is it do with radio? Can you get stuff? Because recently I think Mr. Jam played he played Dirty Dyke, didn't he? And didn't Frankie Boyle
Frankie Boyle had
on
Dyke.
New World Order
and Mr. Jam gave Dyke like a triple wheel up on radio, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Basically, I put out a tweet just being like, mainstream radio is an absolute joke. Like, you don't need to do your job properly.
Yeah.
And then obviously that sort of popped off a bit, Dyke added some people in. And then that resulted in Mr. Jam playing Dyke, having an interview on the phone, playing some Dabla tunes, me going on Kiss FM. So I guess that kind of did help. You know, there's DJs like DJ MK. He's a real good guy.
We had MK on.
Scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. So yeah, I think it's just that transitional period, you know, they play what the kids think are cool, or they kind of set the trends, don't they? So
yeah. And then I guess you're going to get a situation, you get situations where something blows up and then a radio session didn't want to play it, and then you get to go fuck yourselves.
Yeah
That's the idea.
It's just the kind of scene, like what led me to do that tweet is like the movement that we've created, the fan base that I know that we have, all the cities and go around the world, like we toured Australia and like a couple of times and all around Europe, and like we even went to like Austria, and they play our music quite a lot on mainstream radio.
Do they really?
Like, the 4 hours actually ended up talking about politics on like mainstream radio, like out there, which is like completely unheard of. That would never happen here. It's just funny to see like other countries even maybe supporting it more than our own country.
Yeah,
which is interesting. But I think it's just a matter of time, really.
Yeah, well, it feels like it feels like you guys have blown up, like got much bigger recently. Is that true, or is that just perception?
No, I think it's kind of like exponential growth, really, isn't it? Just got to keep putting out the fire releases.
Ramesh, are you thinking of setting up your own record label?
Have I asked? Is my line of questioning suggested?
Later and stuff.
I'm just interested in the process.
I'm being silly.
I just want to know, you know, how what you do with the tapes.
Yeah.
I'm fucking what, so pissed off about the tapes.
What
annoys
sort of
me about
hours
it?
Do you work? Do you get in at 9?
Okay, all right, mate. I wish you hadn't picked me up on saying tape.
Oh, it's funny.
No, but then that is definitely going to be in now, isn't it? Whereas if you just fucking let it go, Xander let it go.
Yeah, no, I should have.
Yeah. So what's your ultimate ambition for High Focus?
Worldwide domination.
Yeah. Have you had any interest from the US?
I mean, obviously we work with Premier.
Yeah. How did that come about?
That's just from Lee. Like, Leaf Dog is obviously, like, we're all massive fans of him.
Yeah.
But Leaf has a producer, you know, he's the guy who he looks up to most. And then Leaf's managed to collaborate with tons of, like, American artists.
Right.
And he worked with Apathy, and he saw that he had DJ Premier's, like, contact details, so he got in touch with his management.
Yeah.
And Premier had actually played a few of the 4 Hours' first tracks on his radio show.
Oh, really?
And, like, in Front magazine years ago, he named, like, Kalashnikov and myself as his two favourite British MCs.
Holy shit.
So I was like, wow, when I found that out. But then we knew that he knew of us and liked us, so then basically, made the connect, obviously spoke to management, got all the business stuff sorted, And then he called up Leaf and like they had a good chat on the phone and spoke about what we were looking for in the beat.
Leaf Dog seems like quite a cool guy.
Yeah, nice.
Was he cool talking to Premier?
Yeah, I think he was shitting himself at first. Obviously, he's like, oh my
really
god,
really dry mouth.
He's calling me down. Like, but yeah, no. Since then, we've met him a couple of times.
And what's he like?
Yeah, he's a real good guy, man. He's cool.
You can't say he's a prick. He's a prick. I'm not saying he did think that, but.
No, he's a good guy. Met him at Outlook Festival and also in London as well.
Yeah.
When he's doing a show with the band and that.
And does he keep... Because whenever you hear him doing a skit on anything,
yeah,
it's always about playing the real shit.
Yeah,
talk about that. I get the impression that he talks about that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even when you're talking about sport or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He just keeps bringing it back to why the fuck Radio's not playing enough underground real shit.
Yeah, for real.
It was a time though when, like, I mean, it still is. Mm. Every single time you hear one of it, like, you know that his production's on something.
Yeah, yeah,
you
definitely.
Just get so excited to hear it. Mm. Have you, just as a side note,
yeah,
have you listened to Jay-Z's new album?
I haven't, because I'm not Tidal. So.
Right, so have you?
Yeah, I did a.
So I downloaded Tidal.
Yeah.
Just to listen to this album.
Okay. House nigga, don't fuck with me. I'm a field nigga, with Sean Cutlery. Go play the quarters where the butlers be. I'ma play the corners where the hustlers be. I told them, please don't die over the neighborhood that your mama renting.
Snoop Dogg, did you see that? He said he had to get his mate to torrent
it.
He booted
it,
yeah. How to use Tidal. He's like, I don't understand.
Well, I've heard that Kanye has...
He's dropped out, hasn't he?
He dropped out of Tidal.
Right.
Out of some money dispute, but it's obviously because Kanye's gone batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my... What do you think of Jay-Z's album?
I've had, like, two listens.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm not, like, immediately blown away. Sort of quite...
Give me an example of something that immediately blew you away so I can just sort of point a reference.
Biggie's first album.
Biggie's first album, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I am interested to know what you look like when you're blown away by something. I just want to know, does your face change?
Well,
or...
Do I just sort of, like, fall to the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, look to the sky on my knees, welling up a bit sometimes.
This is what I thought of the album, right?
Yeah.
Having said that, when I downloaded Tidal, I realised that Tidal was actually quite good.
Is it?
Is there loads
of... It is
of,
a good is play, there, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get people.
Yeah, because it fucking worked on me. I'm a marketing dream, mate. Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'll get that. Because the thing is, with Kanye, because I wanted to listen to Life of Pablo, right?
Yeah.
But I knew eventually that would get on other shit. But with Jay-Z, he's so desperate.
Is he not going to bring it out, though? It'll come out eventually.
I don't know. Right. But, like, but what I did think about the album is, because do you know about, like, what he talks about on the album?
My mate said, isn't it really, like, family orientated?
Well, he basically has cheated on Beyonce left.
So the whole thing
is, like... like an episode of Jeremy Carr, like he's apologising for, like, cheating on her left, right and centre or whatever. His mum comes out as gay on it, right?
Yeah.
So there's all this shit, like, all these revelations. But then I think he sort of thought, that's enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
almost like, because, like, there's No ID's produced all of it, I think,
right?
And No ID's great, and the beats are all amazing. But a lot of the tracks, he does a couple of verses and then just drops off, and then they just let the track play out for ages. And it's really weird. I don't know.
I heard Beyonce had to, like, sign off on all his lyrics, apparently.
I'm not surprised by that.
What, the whole album?
Apparently.
Wow.
But it's good. It's good. The title track, the beat is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And apparently there's another 3 tracks due to come out soon.
It's called 444 because that's when he woke up and came up with that tune.
He woke up at 4:44 in the morning and came up with that tune.
I mean, he's not really trying that.
And then he called it 444, yeah. Do you have that? Do you ever have that where you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got an idea?
I don't know, not too much, to be honest.
So one of the things with comedians, right, is you're supposed to, like, be on the lookout for when inspiration hits at any moment. So I started, like, fucking putting notes on my phone and shit, right?
Yeah.
So I'll show you. So basically, I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea for a routine, and I used to think, oh, that's so good, I'm definitely gonna remember that, and then I don't. Now I've started, like, listing it on my phone, right? So I'll give you an example. Here you go. Here's something I wrote the other day that I thought of, right? This is fucking insane. So I'm thinking about turning this into a routine. Woman got coat stuck in tube door. How long till you abandon it? That's supposed to be an idea. Ed Sheeran has to be so fucking talented. I don't know
what's that. You're just saying what people are thinking.
Here we go. Nicolas Cage eating cockroach doesn't make you a good actor. Satnav doesn't exhibit stress and it's annoying. People say you can get a great body and then talk about their bodies on Facebook.
Yeah.
Is that a routine?
Yeah, there's
something in there. Got legs. Why do we celebrate really young kids doing shit? That's another one. Avocado lattes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is a thing. Have you? I think it's a joke. I think some cafe did it as a joke.
Right.
Eating vegetarian at Nando's. I actually think there's something
in
that.
Yeah, there's
definitely
something.
I do do that.
What's that? Are you vegetarian?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you vegetarian?
Yeah, man.
Right, so this is good, right? So I'm vegan, right? You're not. You eat anything, right?
Yeah.
So this is the thing is, right, if you're vegetarian or vegan for a reason, eating at Nando's isn't right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they do a good veggie burger, but they're never going to change. You're supporting.
Yeah.
You're supporting something that slaughters chicken by its very nature.
Yeah, nasty.
Nando's continued existence means that chickens are fucked, right? And you're never going to buy enough veggie burgers for Nando's to change their core strategy. They're never going to go.
That's true.
I think we should just do veggie burgers. They're flying out the doors.
The only reason why we go there so much is because it's Leaf Dog's favourite place to eat.
Is it?
So whenever we're on tour, he's like, Google Maps, Nando's, and just like goes there every time. I get dragged into it.
There you go. So that's got legs, that routine.
I got food poisoning from a Nando's.
Go on, tell me about it.
Well, it was before I was going to New York at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I had it that night, and I woke up at 4 in the morning, not 4:44.
Yeah.
And just properly bent over, ill.
Yeah.
From Nando's.
Throwing up.
Yeah.
Did you go
and
back,
the rest? Yeah.
Did you go back to both ends?
Yeah.
Did you go back to Nando's and complain?
No, because we were flying out the next day. Right. So I just sit on an 8-hour flight.
Oh my god! Have you ever reheated rice in a microwave?
No, you're not allowed to. It's illegal, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's illegal. but I did it.
Did you?
And it is the worst. What follows the worst 3 days of my life.
Really?
Don't do it. Have you ever done it?
No.
No, don't do it, man. Anyway, so there you go.
That's rice.
That's good, isn't it? That's rice fucking nailed. Actually, I might make a note.
We've nailed Nando's. So just sort of weirdly workshopping rummage is set for.
Yeah, it's good. Live hip hop. We've got a bugbear about it here.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Depends who you're watching. Some people are amazing, and other people can make you not like their music anymore.
Do you have a best hip hop show that you've been to see? Like, the only one that sticks out in your memory is like.
I mean, we were talking about him earlier, but R.A. the Rugged Man's show is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Know the Jess Franco of hip-hop. Leave you faceless, torture chambers. Say this in the basement. Rugged Man, who's the foulest? Who's the rudest? I grab my dick while I do this. H.G. Lewis, the 2000 Maniacs, who this?
I remember one of the first times I saw him. Just like his flow is obviously crazy, and he tried to do a front flip on stage and just landed on his back. And then got some girl out of the crowd and started like slobbering all over her shoe. It was pretty amusing. That's not really killing it on the mic, is it? But that stage presence, is pretty good. So we toured with those guys, Dope DOD. I don't massively listen to their music, but their show was like really impressive.
Oh, really? Because what was so good about it?
Just the energy and like the engagement with the crowd and like. The DJ before they all came out was like wearing a mask, standing on the turntable, like standing on the, the turntable table.
Yeah.
Just going crazy. I don't know. Just a high energy. Certain people.
Yeah.
Kill it, but. Do you just find it disappointed too many times?
I've been to so many.
Yeah.
And just most of them have been crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I went to see Jerry the Damager.
Yeah.
And he stormed off.
Yeah.
Halfway through because the crowd weren't giving him what he wanted.
Yeah.
Lil Carna was good. Obviously, that was good.
He puts on the show.
I like. There's certain acts I'll always see, but it's all like old school acts like De La Soul. If they come over, I'll watch them.
Yeah.
The Roots, although they won't now that much because of their Fallon's house band, but if they come over, I'll watch them. So there's certain bands and things. And like when we had Ocean Wisdom on, he was like, he obviously is somebody that cares a lot about the live aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, we were talking about this before we started recording, but when I went to see The Far Side,
yeah,
like, I love The Far Side, and they were playing Bizarre Ride, like, from top to bottom, but they just didn't really seem that into it. I mean, it sort of feels like people don't, like, a lot of hip-hop acts don't see that touring part as, like, a way of, they see it as an obligation that you've got to do it to promote the album.
Yeah.
Whereas, actually, if you get really good at it, that's the way you make a lot of your money, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of the money is definitely in live shows. But I think a lot of the guys that you've, like, named as well, obviously, are in the older generation of hip-hop, so they've been doing it a long time, so maybe they're just tired now.
Oh, that's true.
And also being on tour,
man, like, I'm just seeing people that are just nearly dead. That's what's happening.
Yeah. And, like, if you're doing show after show after show, it can be pretty exhausting. Like, I've definitely been on, like, tours, and, you know, just kind of have to amp yourself up.
You find it in?
Yeah.
What do you do if you... What do you do? Red Bull?
Just gin.
Gin, right. Because I was really tired before a tour show, and I necked, like, 3 Red Bulls. And I did a 90-minute show in about 11 minutes. It was fucking ridiculous. It was absolutely...
To see that,
ridiculous.
Really high energy.
Oh, my God. I was just totally off it. Totally off it, man. I was like Lee Evans.
Yeah. Sweating loads.
What are you listening to at the moment?
Been listening to quite a lot of the new High Focus unreleased.
Have you? Interesting. Yeah. So what
surprise,
is it?
Surprise.
So what's this?
Yeah, we've got a new Verb T album.
Right.
There's a collaborative project between Jan Baxter, Ed Scissor, and Ghost Town, which is called Laminated Cakes.
Right.
A lot of Ocean's new stuff, which is getting there nicely now for his second album.
So do we know when that's coming out?
Hopefully near the end of this year.
Okay.
That's what we're aiming for. Definitely some singles will be out this year.
Is my perception of Ocean Wisdom is that he's about, like, he could... It looks like he's going to break out, right?
Yeah, I reckon he can, man, definitely.
Yeah. Is he... Is that play... Does he think about that at all, or is he just trying to do
it? Yeah, no, he's a clever guy, man. He's definitely conscious of...
Yeah.
He's definitely conscious and aware of how, you know, how he presents himself, what he says in his music, and how he goes about it all.
Yeah.
He's got a decent manager as well who's definitely helping him out. So, yeah.
And, okay, so you got that. And then, do you listen to any American stuff now?
Yeah, like Action Bronson and them sort of guys. And just, yeah, quite a lot of the old stuff. But I'm so busy these times, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And quite a lot of, like, grime and road rap. I just kind of like to keep up to date with
who are your favourite grime guys?
Wiley, Getz. Just because of his lyricism. Getz's lyricism is crazy. Obviously, he's, like, pretty aggy, but I don't think any grime guy would really want to clash him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
DEE is one of my long-term favourites.
Yeah. What are you listening to at the moment, Rupert?
That thing you sent me.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Jaron Benton.
Yeah, I've been listening to that yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he just sort of is obsessed with Wu-Tang, isn't he?
My mama must have did crack in the 80s. Came out the pussy hole acting as crazy. Shit, they put you in the bean just for smacking your babies. Keep staring, I draw the weapon like keep hammering. It's apparent these niggas wild and they need parents. Bitch, I'm ruthless, I fucked and I make excuses. To throw the deuces, I told you bitches, we ain't exclusive. I'm a black activist, I'm activist, your math don't add up. You niggas better calculus, I never close the Maybach.
That album, so do you know Jaron Benton?
No.
So do you know Hopson? Have you known Hopson?
Yeah.
So I think he was on Hopson's label.
Right.
But that label's, like, dissolved now or whatever. So, like, so this guy, Jaron Benton, who's that album, he did an album a couple of years ago that I really liked, but this, I think this album came out either earlier this year or last year. It's called Mint Coat Killer.
Yeah.
Right? And it's very Wu-Tang influenced.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's done a Cream remake.
He's sampling, Cream 17.
Yeah, and the opening of the album is like this Kung Fu film sample. But it's that album, I love it, man.
Yeah, it's
so good. I've been listening to that loads. So, what? So apart from records... Oh, this is the other thing I wanted to ask you, right? I've just bought a new, like, vinyl setup in my house, right? And then I went into HMV recently, and their vinyl section, HMV Crawley, they've got fucking loads of vinyl, man.
Didn't it's outsold digital downloads, didn't it?
Yeah,
months ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you guys are always putting out orange vinyls of shit and stuff like that. Have you noticed people...
There's definitely a resurgence in it. I think it's sort of the collectability about it. I think a lot, I wouldn't be surprised if quite a lot of the people who even buy our records might not even take them out of the...
Oh, you reckon?
I don't know. Because I don't know how many people have turntables, like, you know.
So what?
I think there's a lot of collectors who just, like, if you're really into something, they want to have the physical product.
Yeah.
As well.
I just, if you... I mean, I get it.
Mm.
But I think if you're buying vinyl and you've not got a turntable, you're a fucking piece. Yeah. I just can't... Yeah. I get... I
maybe
get,
that's not... Maybe
just like, it looks nice in your house.
Yeah. But I get buying the vinyl and then you might not open it. Yeah, I get that. We've all done shit like that. Like, I've got, like... I used to buy DVDs, like, you know, like, so many unwatched DVDs, like, still in the... Obviously, right?
Yeah.
But you at least have the... thing that you can play it on. I don't know what your end game is there.
Yeah, no, for real. Maybe that was a bit of a wild.
No, quote. I think but I think people do that. Yeah. I do think people do that. Mm. But then the other thing is, right, it's so fucking, because there's two movements. There's like people that are into hip hop and want to hear violin.
Yeah.
There's also this hipster sort of thing where you invite friends around, you have dinner, and like you gather around, and you just go listen to the crackle.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. There's that movement as right? That's what I think. What I got worried about.
What did you buy? Like Technics.
Yeah. And then I've got like a little speaker system.
Yeah.
And.
You've got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fucking.
Start DJing.
No.
Scratch routines.
Yeah. Do you DJ?
No, I've messed about growing up, but.
There's something so lovely about scratching, like. Yeah. It's lovely if you've got slip mats and a proper setup, and it is lovely if you haven't for the minute before you realise that you fucked up both your setup and the record.
My dad used to get pissed when I was younger.
I used to love doing that, man, because my parents were into disco, and then the number of Boney M records I just fucked up, like just insane. But I want to have like, because we're redecorating. This is so boring, but we're redecorating our front room. So now I want to have a little. Vinyl
corner,
and then I'll invite people around and go, "Oh, check out this!
You could frame this new high focus release. Things that people do, frame it and put on their wall or whatever."
Yeah, I'm trying to get like cool shit. What's your gaff like? Do you have like hip hop posts, like, not posters, pictures and shit, and vinyl?
I've got like one of my rooms in my house I've made into like my recording studio.
Right.
Got my mate who's a carpenter to build like my own vocal booth in there.
So oh my god, nice. That's wicked, man.
And then I've put like all of the high focus releases on vinyl in like, you know, behind glass or whatever, or all on the wall. They cover the whole wall in my studio.
Amazing. So that's great. Do you know what I've got? So I've just tried to turn my garage into an office, right? So I put a whiteboard up in there for me when I'm having ideas like woman gets coat cold.
What about the ones on the phone though?
Pardon? I transfer those to the whiteboard.
The one in. Yep.
So anyway, what's happened is I've written on that whiteboard in permanent marker and just have not found a cleaner to get rid of it. So that's that. There's a set of shit ideas that are fucking immortalised.
Staring you in the face.
I also got really excited about getting. Like my favourite posters from my favourite films framed, right? So I got Trading Places, right? You know this film, and I just ordered a much too big thing. So this box that was the size of our fucking front door arrived, and it's this massive Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd hugging each other. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with it.
How big is it, like?
It is massive. Like,
was it like a billboard poster?
Yeah, honestly, it's insane. I don't know what the fuck. And then because I paid quite a bit of money for it, that should have rung alarm bells. Like, this must be much bigger than you think.
That's why it's a grand.
Yeah. And it's so fucking huge. Yeah. So it's got this, like, it's just useless to me. What's next on the horizon? Apart from the music you talked to us about, what's next on the horizon for High Focus?
Dropping a load of new merchandise, like t-shirts and caps and bags and that sort of stuff. Putting on quite a few shows. Going to be doing a big show, Christmas show, and that's quite far away, but at Coco in London.
Nice.
Which is a pretty nice venue.
So who's going to be on at that? Everyone?
It should be like the whole roster, hopefully.
Holy shit. Should we go to that?
You should come, I guarantee you'll have a good time.
I want to come to that.
Yeah.
So what date is that? It'll revive your opinion of like
hip-hop. Okay, fine. I'm going to... I'm coming. And you want to
go? Yeah, I'll be up for that.
What date is it?
I think it's 17th of December.
I'm going. I mean, I don't know why I'm telling. Nobody gives a shit. One thing I say about High Focus fans is they're fucking militant.
Yeah, right? For real.
So whenever I've got some High Focus gear. Mm. If I'm ever in a photo and I'm wearing a High Focus t-shirt,
yeah,
guaranteed there'll be some comments going, "Nice to see Romish fucking ripping High Focus."
They're dedicated, bro.
Big up the real. Yeah. Fucking big up Roms. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Right, listen, that's it. We're dying here, and it's too hot. But yeah, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much,
thank
man.
Thank you.
That's all, man.
You've plugged everything you need to. Is there anything else? Is there a word of wisdom that I've never asked any guests?
Do your final thought.
Should we do a final thought?
It's okay. A new feature.
What's your? I'll give you a bit of time.
Yeah.
What's your final thought?
I'm gonna get back into tape something.
Seriously,
hold on.
Just why you just reminded me.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody in High Focus bring out a tape or something?
Yeah, we started bringing tapes.
There you go.
We're bringing them back.
Fuck you, Rupert. So who's brought out a tape?
Ono Capono did. I brought out a tape on my album.
There you go. Sorry.
Jam back stuff.
Oh, we can sort of edit around.
No,
this.
No, we're not. We're keeping it in, and it's be worth it for this moment where I look.
We've
like
got five tapes available.
Five tapes. There you go.
There you go.
Is that your final thought?
No, my final thought is that we should just all be nice to each other. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just building up from that, we are in a time now where it's divisive and people are turning against each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's just nice for people just to have a think about that.
Yeah. Just take a step back.
And when take a step back. Mm. And just reflect on the fact that we probably need more love in the world.
Yeah.
I've been Romesh. Xander, what you got?
Stay high, stay focused. One love to everyone.
So much better than what we said.
Yeah, what
right, cool. Listen, mate, it's been an honour having you on. Thank you so much, man.
Big up, guys.
See you later, Rupert.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.